Call a meeting to order, if you'll please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda this morning is a presentation for the Adoption and Permanency Awareness Month in Centerville County. Jan, yes?
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Board, members of the board. We are here today to celebrate November 2006 as National Adoption Awareness and Permanency Month. On any given day in the United States, there are more than 500,000 children in foster care. Of that amount, about 120,000 children are waiting for adoptive homes. These are boys and girls of all races and ages, and what they desire is, like any child, a permanent loving home, a home that will allow them to grow and flourish. At a local level, Stanislaus County does its part for adoptions and increased permanency for children. Within the Community Services Child and Family Services Division is an adoption agency. Over the past 7 years, the Community Services Agency, Adoption Agency, has surpassed the state standard that has been set for us, and that is 66 adoptions a year. As you can see, just this year, past year alone, we were able to find 112 permanent homes for kids. The California Systems Improvement Project measures and monitors each county's performance in ensuring safety, permanence, and well-being of children. We are measured by a variety of outcomes in these areas. One of the outcomes by which we are measured is the percent of children who were adopted within 24 months after entry into foster care. These are children who were removed from their parents because of abuse or neglect, and they were unable to reunify with their families. As you can see, we substantially exceed both the state and national standards for timeliness to adoption, which is very significant. Stanislaus County, 58% of our children find adoptive homes within 24 months from removal. Statewide, that amount is 30%, and nationally it's 32%. This next chart reflects our caseload trends. We see a continual decrease in our foster care caseloads and an increase in our adoption assistance caseload. The decrease in foster care is attributed to a variety of things, including very strong prevention and intervention programs that we have in our community. But also, it indicates the strong commitment that our adoptions unit staff continue to have to find permanent homes for kids. At this time, I'd like the Community Services Agency Adoptions Unit to stand and be acknowledged for the very good work that they do. They also provided you with a lovely bottle of water this morning. One of the really neat things that occurs in Stanislaus County for our adoptive families is a program called Camp Always. We've told you about it before, and it's a program that is a collaboration between Adopt a Special Kid and ASK, the Golden Bear, and the Community Services Agency. It's located up in Pinecrest. This year, 125 children and parents were able to attend. It's a recreational and therapeutic program for our adoptive kids and their families. We've received some great awards as a result, too. In 2003, we received the Adoptions Excellence Award, and in 2004, the California State Association of County's Challenge Award. Here's just a couple of things that families shared as a result of camp this year. We are making memories for life. My children love it because most of the children are adopted. They feel accepted by all. Thank you. We love you. And our family really enjoyed camp. We always have tons of fun. We want to thank you all. Hope to see you next year. And please keep this camp funded as it is so needed for our families, for families like ours. We get very little time together as a family with this type of support and care. Thank you. And we're really pleased that we're able to continue to fund this camp. In addition to the adoption agency within the Community Services Agency, there are six other licensed adoption agencies in our community. And I'd like them just to stand as I say their names. Aspira Foster and Family Services, Bethany Christian Services, Family Connections Christian Adoptions, Families First, Konania Family Services, and Sierra Vista Child and Family Services. Thank you for the work you do. And these agencies not only find homes for children that are in the foster care system, not only just in Santa Fe County, but throughout California. Many of them also do other domestic adoptions and international adoptions, which is another just wonderful way to build a family. What I'd like to do now is introduce Nikki Jones and her two boys, Stephen and Jacob, and they adopted through Family Connections Christian Adoption Agency, and they'd like to just share their story.
As I thought about what to say today, I looked back through my journal to see if there was anything that stood out that could help me prepare. But then I realized that every single entry about our adoption process over the last 2 years pointed exactly to where we are today. Adoption has become part of who we are because of our two amazing sons. Stephen and Jacob joined our family 2 years ago. Our placement was quite fast. We found out about them on a Tuesday, we met them on a Wednesday, and they moved in with us on a Thursday. I honestly remember laying my head on my pillow that first night and wondering if we were doing the right thing. It was scary, it was overwhelming, and I didn't know what to expect. But as I contemplated the situation more, the thought hit me, wow, how scared and overwhelmed those two little boys must feel. With the challenge ahead, we woke the next morning and started our new family. Every bump, every road, and every journey became the center of who we were as the Jones family. Not running from the challenge, but facing it head on, knowing the only way to get past it was to go through it. We made it our goal to live each day, always remembering that tomorrow is a new day and another chance to start over. No matter what happened today, it wouldn't affect tomorrow. And with that as our goal, we watched two amazing boys grow and develop further than expected. Stephen, now age 7, is in the second grade. Before coming to us, it was recommended that he be placed in an IEP. But with the help of an amazing kindergarten teacher, he soared and caught up quite quickly. By the end of his first grade year, his teacher said he would be greatly missed, and on his report card, she stated that he is out of the box intelligent child. In second grade, he is now reading at the fifth grade level, and his math assessment places him in the third grade. Now his teacher is searching for ways to challenge him academically rather than saying he is an academic challenge. Stephen is an exceptional delight and a joy to have in our life. He is an amazing big brother and even greater son. Jacob is now 5 years old and in kindergarten. He has overcome many challenges. I remember trying to hold Jacob as he fought to get away after 10 seconds. He would scream if you held his hand, but now he loves hugs and kisses and cuddling, but not only receiving them, giving them as well. He is warm, compassionate, caring brother and son. He struggled with potty training until his fourth birthday when he just decided it was time. Within 4 days, he was out of diapers and sleeping through the night with no accidents. He also had a speech problem, but since turning 5, he began pronouncing words with amazing precision that would have frustrated him before. He has only been in kindergarten 3 months, and he is already reading. His teacher says it is a joy to see the non-confused look on Jacob's face in a sea of confused faces. With love, acceptance, consistency, opportunity, and expectations, Stephen and Jacob have accomplished so much more than we dreamed possible. They have faced challenges over and over with the basic knowledge and acceptance that if at first you don't succeed, you can try, try again. They have inspired us and challenged us in many different ways. They have helped us dream dreams and reach new heights. They have blessed us and allowed us to become part of who they are. We accept every day, every moment, and every challenge set before us as a choice to help them become who they were meant to be. It wasn't by choice that we faced years of infertility, and it wasn't by their choice that they were placed in foster care, but it was by a higher choice that we became the family that we are today. Thank you for letting me share today from my heart. What we plan for our life doesn't always happen the exact way we see it, but when it comes down to it, the actual way it happens is exactly what it should be. As a family, we are officially in Child Search again. We originally planned for more children, but when the boys came, we accepted our adoption experiences then. Until a few months after the boys' adoption finalized, when they approached us and asked for sisters. We said, you know, in order for that to happen, we must adopt again. And Jacob, our youngest, looked at us with a surprised face and said, isn't that the only way? We have some pictures for you. You can also take them of their transition time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that says it all.
Thank you very much.
We just want to thank you for your continued support of Community Services Agency Adoptions Program and other agencies in our community for finding permanence for kids. Today, all seven adoption agencies would like to accept proclamations. So I'll just announce the agency and the individual who will be receiving them, and I'll just step on up.
Sharon Talais from Aspera Foster and Family Services.
Lynette Stein from Bethany Christian Services. Marcia Polson, Community Services Agency. Wayne Mott, Family Connections, Christian Adoptions. Ann Jones, Family First. Jackie Taylor, Konania Family Services. And Mary Jo Mastin from Sierra Vista Child and Family Services.
Thank you, Jan. We have a resolution for each of you, and I won't read it in its entirety, but I will read sections of it because the board is extremely pleased to present you with these resolutions, recognizing the value of belonging to a secure, loving, and permanent family. Every child's right. And on behalf of the board, I wish to present this to you, and you may say if you wish to.
I just thank you for your support, and I wanted to give everybody on the board a ribbon to wear for the entire month of November.
Thank you. Okay. We'll hang on to those, Bill. Congratulations to you, and would you like to say a few words?
I would just like to thank the board for supporting adoption, and you can tell by the testimony this morning that when you change the life of the child, you just change the whole community. So thank you.
Would you tell us two of the agency you're from?
I'm from Community Services Agency, Adoption Unit, and I'd like to thank the board also for taking this time out to honor the families that adopt and the adoption agencies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm with Family Connections Christian Adoptions, and not being very creative, I want to thank the board as well and Stanislaus County for inviting us, and also publicly thank Mickey and her boys for sharing today.
If you're hitting that, you're very creative, so.
I'm Ann Jones from Families First, and again, thank you for recognizing us and increasing the awareness of the need for permanency planning.
Thank you very much, and here's your resolution.
I'm Jackie Taylor with Konania Family Services. I want to thank you guys for the support. We're new at this, but we're looking forward to getting more involved with adoptions and increasing the adoptions that we have.
Thank you.
I'm Mary Jo Maston from Sierra Vista Child and Family Services, and I do also want to thank you for this time that you're recognizing adoption. It is such importance to families and children in our community. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. And I do want to thank the lady who came to the podium. I don't have the name in front of me right now, but thank you for bringing the two boys, two handsome young men, and both of them waving while in the audience. They're not the least bit shy, so you've done a good training for the public. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a public comment period, and I have one request. Diane Casal, if I pronounce it right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It doesn't appear that my issue is on the agenda today, but I'm here anyway. And I'll try to be very brief. I come down here and I see what you do and how you do it and what you deal with, and I feel pretty insignificant. When I'm home and I'm in the middle of the problem, it's overwhelming. My issue is lack of sheriff's response. Saturday, I had drag racing down my road. I called once and I got no response. Nobody ever showed up. Sunday, I had drag racing in front of me, and I had trespassers behind me on dirt bikes, and I have the letter of trespass from the owner adjacent to my property, my own property, it's on record with the sheriff, yada, did all my footwork. They didn't come out because I had trespassers in the back, and they didn't come out because I had drag racing on the road. They came out because I yelled at their dispatcher. Now, if that's not a good old boy network covering for each other, I don't know what is. And he said, well, while I'm here, I guess I can take care of it. I don't know what to do. Yesterday, we had to call three times because the neighbor that we called on Sunday did his typical retaliation thing. And we told him that that was going to happen. And we only had to call three times yesterday to get them to come out. Now, and I'm real aware of the lack of coverage and the lack of positions filled and the funding and all of that. But the bottom line is, what about red-headed stepkids out there? The Highway Patrol never shows up. The Sheriff's Department passes it off to the Highway Patrol because it's on the road. I don't know what to do. I need some response. I got a drug dealer at one end of the road. I got gangbangers on the other end of the road. And they run back and forth in between all day, all night. And I'm going to put a plug in for my neighbor behind me. I have two little old people that have lived there for many, many years. And they're very intimidated by their neighbor. He has dumped piles and piles and piles of old concrete. He's a swimming pool contractor or something. Try to do anything about it, he gets nasty, gets belligerent, and he gets intimidating, and these old people just can't stand up to that. It doesn't affect me directly, but indirectly it does, because it devalues my property. Because somebody comes out to look at my property, to buy my property, they circle the block, and they see this. Do you want to live here? I don't want to live here anymore. I really admire what you do. I really admire what you do. I couldn't do it. And I guess I'm the coward in the piece because I'm out of here. I've had it. I bought a farm in North Dakota last year, and I'm in the process of moving. I'll be out of here next year. I'll be out of everybody's hair, and they can just run riot. So I guess I'm the coward in the piece. I'm the one that's leaving. Yeah. And I wish you luck, but it's unbearable. It's unbearable. And I'm sorry that I had to come down here and do this. I was challenged by the dispatcher office, I was challenged by the deputy. will go down and complain to the board supervisors, as I'll be there bright and early Tuesday morning. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Anyone want a response to that, or I guess not? Is there anyone else in the audience who's here to speak on this particular part of the board agenda? I only had one request. It took courage to come down here, so we're happy to hear from you, and I'm sure you'll hear from the sheriff's office at some point. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is 9:15 public hearing. Oh, excuse me, consent calendar. We have anyone desire to have any item removed from the consent calendar? If not, we need a motion.
I'll move.
Second. Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Public hearing.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Ron Freitas, Director of Planning and Community Development. And with me this morning is Joshua Mann. Mr. Mann will present the Planning Commission's recommendation to you. This is a rezone application, Best RV Center, which is a request to rezone a 9.9-acre portion of an expired plan development and a very small portion of A240 General Agriculture to a new PD zone to allow the construction and operation of a recreational sales yard. With that, I'll turn it over to Josh.
Good morning. Basically, what we have today is a rezone application, as Ron stated. It's located on Taylor Court, north end of Taylor Court, west of Highway 99. The general plan designation is plan development. The current zoning is an expired plan development number 115 and a small section of A240 left over from the abandonment at Barnhart Road. The aerial photo shows the site plan as proposed. Most of the display area would be along the frontage of Highway 99. There's an approximately 7,500 square foot building proposed towards the southern portion with entrance off of Taylor Court right there and there. This kind of shows a little better. The elevations as proposed are right there. Floor plan includes some sales offices, some service area for the RVs, and including the proposal would be a sign along Taylor Court monument sign and a pole sign 30 feet in height along 99. With that, that concludes the presentation. Be happy to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Board have any questions? Hearing none, then we'll, is that the end of the presentation? Open to public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who's here to speak on this item?
Thank you. My name is Bill Ross with BRC Design at 3039 Waterloo Road in Stockton. I want to thank the staff for helping us get through this project and the whole process of rezoning, and it's always a learning process. Every jurisdiction does things differently, and so we've had some good folks here that helped us to work through this process. When I first looked at this property a little over a year ago, and we looked at what we would do with this in terms of converting it into a location where we could store and sell RVs, the weeds were so high that if you were walking with someone, you had to yell at them to find them. Some of the weeds were over 8 feet high. We immediately recommended to go ahead and do a phase one environmental because there just appeared to be a lot of issues here that might come up and come back to us. And so the client agreed with us, and we started that process to see what was there. And in the meantime, we tried to get some clearing of the ground so we could actually go out and find what might be there. And we were surprised at all the jewels that are there. Some of them positive, but most of them part of what we have to overcome to make this project work. you can see on the picture there the roads that are there, the roads that cut through the middle of it and go around it and circle around back and all of that. Some of those are going to have to be removed to make our project work. There's thousands of cubic yards of concrete. Some of that we'll be able to reuse on the site. We're looking forward to being able to break that up. The old freeway that went through there and the old roads, part of Barnhart Road and so forth that go through there. So we're looking forward to that. It's be a good thing to be able to reuse it right there, and it will, in one sense, it will save some money from transportation and so forth. So it has some interesting features there, but by and large, it has a lot of obstacles to overcome. But the client is convinced he wants to be here. He believes that this is his future. He's excited about coming there. We have listened to the council staff recommending dressing up our building with landscaping, and we've done that. I think we have a beautiful building that will go in there. Compared to our neighbors, we're really looking good. There's some issues on both the north and south of this that we would hope that in the future that the neighbors would be encouraged to improve their properties along with ours. We have a ton of money that's going to go into landscaping along the freeway and actually around the entire property. And we hope that, and we believe that everyone that will see this property when it's done will look at it and say, this is a major improvement. They'll be pleased with what we've done, and we believe that the income generated and the taxes paid back to the county will make this all a worthwhile project. Thank you for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions that I might.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who's here to speak on this item?
Good morning. My name is David Woods. I own Woods Furniture in Turlock along with my brother. About a year ago, we purchased and now occupy a piece of property on Taylor Court. I would just here to highly encourage you to approve this so we can have some additional retail brotherhood out there. It's been tremendous. We see great things that are going to happen on Taylor Court. So I'm just here as a voice of encouragement. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Not then, we'll close the public hearing and return it to the board for action.
Well, this is in District 2, and this is a piece of property that's been a planned development for many years, and this is just a rezone of that, and I'd be more happy to approve it to move ahead.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered. Thank you very much. Turn now to B6. Yeah.
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board. This summer we had three major plant closures that resulted in over 1,800 workers being laid off. These were mostly food processing, seasonal types of jobs. And we do get a allotment from the state every year. The state gets money through the Workforce Investment Act to provide services to dislocated workers. 75% of that comes to local areas through a formula. But the state holds back 25% for situations just like this. And so we went ahead in cooperation with the Central Valley Opportunity Center to apply for some money to serve these people that were laid off. We were notified that we received $393,100, and the Central Valley Opportunity Center, who is the employment services specialists in our area for migrant and seasonal farm workers have received $1 million. We are going to provide to these workers, we're going to assess what their skills are, which in a lot of cases are strictly limited to food processing, cannery type of work. Our first goal will be to try to get them re-employed using the skills that they already have, but if that's not possible, then we will be able to provide retraining to them for occupations that are in demand in our local economy. And Central Valley Opportunity Center will do similar types of services, but they'll specialize in the folks that are very limited English speaking out of this population. We also received notification just yesterday that this event qualifies for Trade Adjustment Act Assistance Funds, which is money that through the NAFTA legislation that's available to assist workers who lose their jobs as a result of foreign competition. And in this instance, the Department of Labor has determined that because we have fresh fruit that comes into our country from other countries, that has resulted in less demand for the canned fruit that these businesses produce, and therefore the workers are eligible to receive training funds through that program. And so I'm just asking you to please approve the acceptance of the grant money so we can provide the services to these workers that they deserve. And I'd also have up on the screen right now for anybody that may be affected from these closures. I have the contact information from my staff person who will be working with them and from the staff person from the Central Valley Opportunity Center. So anybody in the public that is watching, those are the numbers that you can call to get help. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments from the board?
I'd like to ask one. Is there a way that you could provide us, the board, with some idea of what kind of jobs people are looking for? I mean, what jobs are available? I mean, we're always training people, but we have to know what we're training them for.
Yeah, I sure can. And in fact, recently, the Workforce Investment Board, which is the Alliance Board here in Stanislaus County, approved a list of 25 occupations. We basically went through and we looked at the top 25 jobs that are in most demand in our community. And what we did is said that those will be the occupations that we will provide training for people for. So we are making sure that the limited money that we do get to train people is going to be used in where we get the best bang for the buck, that we're as assured as we possibly can that it will result in employment for these people. So I'd be happy to provide that information to you.
Okay, and at some point, give us a percentage of people who go through these programs to find out, did they get these jobs, how well they're doing. It would be nice to know what our percentage is when we train workers who get these jobs and how they're doing. At least you have to go back and get a track record, see how you doing. That's what I'm asking. I said, at some point, you've got a whole new group coming in now. You've got 1,800 people. You're not going to do them all, I know.
Yes.
But whatever you're going to do, give us an idea of the jobs you're training for and give us an idea who got these jobs. Okay, and if your training really did the job.
I would be happy to do that.
Would you be happy to do that? I'd be happy to see that.
When we finish the project, we do collect those types of statistics. So
okay, thank you.
I'll be happy to present it to you. Thank you.
I'd like to move approval to accept this funding.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is item 7, approval of General Services Agency strategic plan.
As Julie and her team approach you, I just want to compliment her for her leadership and the work that's her leadership and that of her staff leadership team she's brought together over the last 6 months has done some extraordinary work here, and
glad she's taken the opportunity to present it to you this morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board, CEO Robinson. It is a pleasure to be before your board today to give you a brief overview of the General Services Agency Strategic Plan. I'm Julie Mefford, your GSA director. While the GSA concept has been around Stanislaus County for a couple of years, really the development has been over the past 7 months. In order to provide a roadmap for this new agency and to enhance the service delivery to the rest of the county, my first goal was to create a strategic plan for the GSA as we do serve all county departments. And this is an overview of the process we followed while developing our strategic plan. To give you a frame of reference, the GSA falls within the BOS priority of efficient delivery of public services. Your GSA brought together four separate service divisions for the county. That's Central Services, Fleet, Facilities, Maintenance, and the Purchasing Division. Within my first month with Stanislaus County, I tried to give every staff person an opportunity to meet with me one-on-one. Coupled with that and recommendations from managers, a strategic planning committee was formed that had equal representation from each of the four divisions I just mentioned. After the committee was selected, this is a process we followed with the help of the CEO Care Unit. A special thanks needs to go to Claudia Krosnick, who facilitated our strategic plan. Claudia worked with a very aggressive schedule, and my goal was to have it up and running within 3 months. It took slightly longer than that, but she made sure that your Board of Supervisor priorities were reflected in our strategic plan. These are the staff from each of the four divisions who are committed to working together to create the strategic plan, some of whom were able to be here today, and I want to make sure that you see their names. They worked incredibly hard on this plan. Our strategic plan priorities will take the GSA through the next 3 years with action plan development on an annual basis. The first step in the development of this plan was to create an agency mission statement. Every member of the GSA had an opportunity to provide feedback on our mission statement. It seemed daunting at first to create a mission that encompassed all of what the GSA does, but in the end, the simple approach seemed to work really well. Board of Supervisor priorities, customer focus groups, and feedback from within the GSA helped us to define our four strategic priorities. Priority teams were given the responsibility to develop goals and action plans for each priority. Priority one's focus was to improve both internal and external communication. Communication plans are currently in development for both GSA staff and our county customers. Priority two is focused on understanding our customer needs. This priority team has issued our first countywide survey to create a baseline for improvement. This team also manages CRM for our agency. Priority three is focused on improving the GSA's delivery of services. This team has created a prioritized inventory of all of the GSA's process and used QUIC, the countywide method for improving processes, to flow map two of GSA's top priorities. This team is also working to create both internal and external agency websites, which will improve access and understanding of GSA services for county departments. And our final priority will ensure that GSA has a well-trained staff. An agency-wide training matrix has been developed by this team, which identifies mandatory and suggested training for each classification. This team is also laying the foundation for an agency succession plan. So now that we have our priorities for the next 3 years, year one goals and action plans, it becomes critical that we continue the momentum. Each member of the GSA was given a copy of the strategic plan and given an overview at an all-staff meeting. Over the next year, the strategic planning committee, now called the leadership team, will meet on a monthly basis to discuss progress, prepare quarterly formal reports for all staff, and also work on an annual review to redefine the strategic plan and report back on the accomplishments that we've achieved over the prior year. And that is a very brief overview of our GSA's progress. I hope you found it helpful, and this concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board?
I just make a comment. I thought that was a very good report of your strategic plan. Noticing some of the things that you have in our board packet there, you mentioned old equipment, and I assume you were talking about Central Services for that. I was out there a few months ago, and they had one machine that was bought in the Eisenhower administration. I had my picture taken with it. And there was one from the Johnson administration.
The names of the equipment is so old that the picture of the president that was in office at the time when it was bought is there. I think if you're going to do anything, you know, with that department, it, certainly updating the equipment is something that has to be done.
Supervisor DeMartini, I'm happy to report we now have a Bush from the current administration.
Oh, well, that's good. I hope you have his picture there.
Any other comments of that nature? No, we need a motion.
Also move.
I'll second.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Thank you. Next, we have item 8, first quarter financial report from the Chief Executive Office.
As our assistants and deputies take their chairs, I again want to express my appreciation to our budget team and throughout the county, the departmental budget team, for the work they've done developing this first quarter report. I would also like to comment that it is a very positive report, that the work that's been done for the proposed and final budget is still valid, and again, my appreciation for the hard work.
Thank you, Rick. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. Kathy Hill Thomas, Monica Nino Reed, and Eileen Nelson. It is a strong, positive fiscal report, a continuation of that trend, that focus, and I think that performance of the organization under your excellent leadership. We have before you today really kind of the report card on the final budget, and it's one of three that we issue through the year to look at the fiscal performance of the organization. And I'd like to echo Rick's comments. This organization, department by department, stays focused on their bottom line and their performance. And so there are some what I would call minor adjustments to the budget today, keeping in pace with the kinds of things that happen during the year and fundable both with dedicated revenue and budgeted resources. We stay very focused on not only preparing a budget and asking you to adopt it after you receive the public's input and your consideration, but giving you three quarterly reports each year to mark the progress and to keep kind of the pulse of the organization from a fiscal and performance perspective. What we have before you today, go ahead, is a kind of a summary of the final budget by priority. You may recall that this year we were pleased to present to you the board's priorities and how the county departments fall within those priorities. So just as a bit of a reminder, our final budget was $899 million. And as you can see, the allocations for safe community, efficient delivery of public service, well-planned infrastructure, the strong local economy, our agricultural economy, and heritage and healthy community are divided, as shown on the screen. Of course, the healthy community portion of the county budget is the largest, but it's also the largest supported by state and federal dollars. And so from the perspective of local discretionary dollars, I think it's important when you look at this graph to say that the largest allocation of local discretionary dollars indeed goes to your top priority of a safe community. What we're showing you in the next picture is an overview of the types of different funds that we have, the parts of the county budget that are funded primarily by local discretionary dollars, and local fees for services are in the general fund. Those that have a significant contribution from state and federal dollars are in the special revenue fund. Our capital projects fund is an ongoing fund with dedicated dollars for projects. Our enterprise funds are those that include our health services agency, clinics, and others that are managed more in a fiscal business-like perspective. And our internal service funds are the kinds that Julie Meffert just talked to you about, our direct support services to the county. If you can see that, and that's how, what makes up our total $899 million budget, and we're recommending a total of $2.2 million in changes in this final budget. In that last quarter shows you where those changes are recommended. We're going to go through revenue now and turn it over to Eileen.
As a first quarter
discretionary revenue is actually at 7.8 million of receipts for the entire year, compared to 19.6 million at the same time last year. The reason is last year we received the 9.9 million payback or repayment from the state for the vehicle license fee gap loan repayment. So there's a significant difference. However, we are trailing a bit behind what our typical discretionary revenue receipts are as of this time. There's primarily two reasons for that. One is our transfer tax revenue. A year ago, we had received 1.2 million of this revenue, and transfer tax, again, is that it's an extra tax collected by the clerk recorder every time that there is a change in property ownership. So it's directly related to housing and the sales of housing and what's going on in the market. $1.2 million last year as of September. We have $483,000 this year. So it kind of gives you a picture of what's happening in the industry. We believe that we'll meet our budget projection, but as of mid-year, we'll look at it. There's no recommendation to change our budget at this time, but we definitely will keep it monitored. The other sales and use tax, that tax trails by about 3 months of actual receipts. So at the end of the year, we get together with the auditor controller and try to determine what the accrual for year end or how much we should actually, I'll say guess, but we look at a variety of prior year analysis and actuals as far as what we should accrue at year end for actual revenue and sales tax. Unfortunately, our estimate this year was overstated at year-end by over $450,000. What happens is that actually affects the current year's revenue, so we're starting $450,000 in the hole. But looking at just general trends and how the overall sales tax has been accrued, I believe that will be online and on target to receive that which we've budgeted. But we're going to watch this very closely, and hopefully next year we won't over accrue and it won't happen to this extent. On the other hand, Prop 172, which the actuals also trail by about 3 months, we accrue that at year end. And this year we didn't accrue enough. There's $135,000 to the good. That is a positive for discretionary revenue this year. In lieu of sales and use tax, that's again sales tax that we formerly received, but now we receive property tax instead. And in September of each year, the Department of Finance does what we call a true-up to make sure that they received enough versus whether or we retained enough. And what it looks like is that we're probably going to receive an additional over $300,000 in the true-up for the in lieu of vehicle license fee in lieu of sales tax for property tax. So that's kind of good news and offsets it. So we're still hopeful that we'll meet our discretionary revenue projection by year end. Moving to our actual first quarter budget increases, as mentioned earlier by Patty, the budget would increase by $2.2 million. And it's really funded by department revenue. There's use of a designation that had been established last year in the general fund, and also department fund balance. The increase will fund salary costs, equipment needs. It will establish a new budget for environmental resources, and actually reinstate funding for the Workforce Alliance budget. What's not included in the $2.2 million is the adjustments we make from the contingency fund. As you recall, contingencies it's funding that we set aside in the budget for emergencies or other exposures. This year, we are recommending, or at first quarter, we're recommending transfers from contingencies of $750,000, $750,621.
This doesn't technically increase the budget because we decrease contingencies and increase the departments that are receiving the adjustments. The pie chart shows you the adjustments that are being made, and the largest is for our Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Department to fund negotiated increases. Overall, contingencies this year are budgeted at $9.8 million. And this, again, shows you the where the recommendations by department and budget unit that we're making this year.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, and Chief Executive Officer. I'm going to go over the various staff recommendations for the individual departments. The first fund I will be going over will be the general fund. The first recommended adjustment is for animal services. The department, along with staff, is recommending the addition of an animal services operations officer, supervisor, to provide direct supervision of the community services that they do out in the community, along with their volunteer staff, along with overseeing various repairs and maintenances to the shelter. The department will not need any additional appropriations for this at this time. They will be funding this position with their existing appropriations. For the assessor, during the proposed and the final budget process, the assessor had recommended various unmet needs. The department is trying to fund some of those as part of their existing appropriations, but we did reevaluate some of those, and we are recommending those as part of first quarter. The first one is for computer upgrades of over $23,000. We are recommending an increase of $16,131 for additional server maintenance and repairs, along with replacement of various office equipment pieces, along with an upgrade of $9,000 to their web page that will be done by our strategic business technology. For our Board of Supervisors, clerk of the board, we are requesting appropriation increases of over $30,200. That request is for a new computer for this board chambers, along with $20,000 for the restoration of 9 index books, along with $8,000 for a department's records management project and indexing system. Staff is recommending increased appropriations to various CEO budget units. The first one is to our county court funding budget unit, and that will be over $29,000 to offset a portion of the court's Ventura cost for retirement, along with $339,313 in general fund match support for our behavioral health and recovery services to offset negotiated increases in salary, along with over $17,558 for the courthouse construction fund to offset an audit finding. We are recommending an increase in our jail medical cost of over $134,363 for additional medical staffing. We are recommending over $34,000 for the Chief Executive Operations and Services to update the county webpage, along with a transfer within just plant acquisition within existing appropriations. We're just moving $20,000 from services and supplies to fixed assets, because that does require board approval. Additional departments within the general fund, we are recommending over $93,360,000 to be funded from appropriations for contingencies to purchase 12 global positioning units for the Office of Emergency Services and Fire Warden for use in the avian influenza response plan, along with $132,000 that will be funded from our public facility fees to purchase a mobile air breeding support unit to complete the fire command trailer. We are recommending over $56,000 for the Parks Department to fund park operating expenses, purchasing an installation of materials lost during the recent floods, along with repairs to the LaGrange Museum. And a portion of those LaGrange Museum costs are related to insurance proceeds that will be funding approximately $19,000 of those costs. For the sheriff, we are recommending a transfer between two of their budget units, which is operations and administration. We are transferring staff, and that's over $102,000, and that's from existing appropriations. We are recommending the increase in the sheriff's budget unit in contract cities for over $90,000 for the addition of one deputy sheriff for the City of Riverbank contract, for a property crimes investigator, and revenue from the law enforcement contract from the City of Riverbank will be funding that additional position, along with an increase in appropriations of $100,000, and the Sheriff's Department will also be coming with an additional $243,000 along with our existing appropriations to fund an engine replacement for the Sheriff's Long Ranger helicopter. For the special revenue fund, the largest recommendation is an increase of over $903,000 for the Alliance WorkNet for the various, the final allocation for their Work First Investment Act funds. As I mentioned earlier, we are recommending an increase in behavioral health and recovery services to offset equity increases, equity increases along with cost of living increases. For environmental resources, we are recommending an increase of $11,160 for the waste tire enforcement program, along with $134,000 for the department's portion of the Ventura settlement, which will be funded through their existing fund balance. We are recommending the addition of an assistant director position at an estimated cost for the remainder of this fiscal year of approximately $61,000. We are also recommending for environmental resources the establishment of a new budget unit for household materials disclosure program. That budget will be established with appropriations of $451,000 and offsetting revenue of $301,000, and the balance will be funded from the existing department's retained earnings. For the capital projects fund, we are recommending budget transfers for the 12th Street office building and parking garage. The first one is to transfer $245,338 from the CEO plan acquisition budget to the 12th Street budget for the purchase of the land for the facility that was previously paid out of the general fund, and we will be transferring that cost to the capital project fund, along with reducing the 12th Street office building and parking garage capital project fund budget by $243,216 to issue a credit to the Westland Development Company that was for costs that were paid as part of the project. We are also recommending a transfer from interest earnings of the proceeds of the various parties of their various borrowings to that budget unit of $60,000 to fund additional costs related to the security and building access system. In addition to our capital projects fund, we are recommending an increase to the courthouse construction fund in both appropriations and estimated revenue for the $17,558 for the audit results, along with $440,000. We are recommending an increase in estimated revenue to bring those budgeted revenues up to actual receipts based upon prior year history. Also within the capital projects fund, we are increasing revenue in our criminal justice facility fund by over $230,000 to bring those budgeted revenues up to actual receipts based upon prior year history. For the enterprise fund, we are recommending an increase to Stanislaus Behavioral Health Center. We are recommending both an appropriation and an estimated revenue increase of $168,552 to fund county match from our general fund county match, which will be for negotiated salary increases along with equity adjustments. Since the department has been having experiencing some fiscal issues, we are recommending a general fund transfer to fund these costs. For the internal service fund, as you heard this morning from Mrs. Medford's strategic plan for our general services agency, we are recommending some equipment upgrades for our central services department. They had some retained earnings within their central services budget, and they are requesting the board to approve an appropriation of over $67,000 to provide additional equipment for printing processes and to provide better service to our county departments. That concludes our staffing recommendations. Our staffing recommendations, we are recommending a total of two positions, two in the general fund. Those two in the general fund, one is for one animal services operations supervisor. The additional one is for the City of Riverbank Deputy Sheriff, that will be for the property crimes investigator. For the special revenue fund, we are recommending three new positions, one for environmental resources, the assistant director that I previously mentioned, along with for the health services agency, we are recommending a manager four in our administration division of our health services agency. For the library, we are recommending one position of a systems engineer two, And our final addition of position will be in our Health Services Agency Enterprise Fund of an account clerk 3. That will bring our total authorized positions up to 4,519. The following slide is our proposed budget schedule for the remainder of this fiscal year. In February, we plan to bring to this board another fiscal update, which will be our mid-year update. March 15th, we will be issuing to our departments and all of our budget staff the proposed budget instructions. Proposed budgets will be due on April 16th, along with bringing back to the board a third quarter fiscal update on the 2006-2007 budget. Will be to the board on May 8th. The June 1st, 2007, the proposed budget will be available to the public, and we will be back before you again to adopt a new budget for June 19th, for your consideration on June 19th through the 21st, and then hopefully a final budget for your consideration on September 1st through 13th.
Supervisors, we have before you today 6 recommendations. Because there is a recommended transfer from the appropriation for contingencies, that will require a 4/5 approval by your board. Both our budget team and our department heads and department managers will be happy to answer any questions you may have about our first quarter fiscal report.
Okay, thank you, Patty. We have 5 recommendations. Are there any questions or comments by the board supervisor or Brian?
I have 2 questions this morning. First of all, the redesign of the county's webpage. One question, will it be all departments or will it just be the current departments that are utilizing the standardized webpage?
My understanding, it will be for the county-wide webpage. At this point, the 34,000, and our public information officer might be able to speak to that in greater detail. Okay, well, let me go ahead and take a try at it. Okay. My understanding, it'll be for the county's primary web page. As I mentioned, the assessor has an upgrade to their web page, and so I know our public information officer is trying to coordinate that effort to get a more uniform look and feel.
And that's what I'm after, uniform look and feel. Right now, our web page, you know, you go to the main web page and it's very standardized, and you can click on certain departments and you're off into a web page that doesn't look anything like the county web page. And I don't know any other $900 million business or industry that doesn't have a standardized web page, and I'm not interested in investing another dime unless we can do that.
Hi, good morning. David Jones, Communications Legislative Affairs for Stones Falls County. Great question. And the $34,000 budget estimate that came from SBT was calculated based on converting all county departments into the new web design look and feel. Now, that's not something where SBT or I can direct county, all county departments, whether they're elected officials or tell the library or the sheriff's office that they will need to convert. However, the budget doesn't include that. The process or the directive will need to come from the CEO office or the board of supervisors to have all departments convert. But the funding is in place for that.
I'm interested in the uniform look.
Thank you.
And second question has to do with the assistant director we're hiring. That seems to be one of the primary reasons is for the bioreactor feasibility study. Is that true?
Our environmental resources director can address that issue.
Okay.
Good morning, Tony Hertzel, Director of Environmental Resources. It's not specifically for the bioreactor study.
That's all I wanted to hear. My concern was that we hire someone, the feasibility study does not look good, then what do we do with a new person? So that's all I wanted to
thank
hear.
You.
Thank you. No further questions.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? If not, then we have these recommendations in front of us. We need a motion for the 6 recommendations.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the 6 recommendations from staff.
I'll second it. So the motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the City of Ceres regarding their intent to pursue bond financing for the Ceres redevelopment project.
Before these, to the auditor controller.
This board has received a letter from the Patterson Frozen Foods Incorporation notifying the county of their plan.
We refer these to the Alliance Network and San Francisco County Economic Development. We got a real ring here.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of them.
Either that or I. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm dead now.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. This board has received a letter from the Waste Management Company notifying the county that Modesto Garbage Company, Inc., Modesto Disposal Service, plans to cease their hauling and transfer operations in Modesto at 2769 West Hatch Road within a 14-day period beginning December 31st, 2006, pursuant to the Worker Adjustment and Retaining Notification Act.
Okay, we refer this to the Alliance Network and Stanislaus Economic Development Workforce and the Department of Environmental Resources. My understanding was there are two disposal companies filling in the gap here for this. So this is a national company. It surprised me that they were leaving, except that they didn't get a raise. It's fortunate that the city, a number of years ago, made decisions to not place all of their disposal in one company, which was a recommendation a number of years ago, that they wanted to make sure there were enough companies that in case one went out, and this is a very good reason why that held true. So anyways, we're referring this to the various departments in question. Next.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Any board member have any report? Legislative, fiscal, and management report?
Yes, just a couple items, if I may. First, an update on our recruitment for our Director of Strategic Business Technologies and Director of our Public Works Department. Those recruitments are ongoing, and we're making progress. We have some what look like pretty good candidates for both positions. We anticipate that the positions will ultimately be filled late January or February. Finally, I would encourage everybody who has not yet done so to remember that today is Elections Day and to get out to vote.
It's Election Day, and I want to tell the two people running for my position that I've changed my mind. that's just levity. I'm just kidding. We have an announcement to make. Tour of the Yellow Center and Arts Construction Site following our executive session, is that correct? We do have a closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation. There is significant exposure to litigation. Although listed as two potential cases in the report, we will only be discussing one potential case, and this is pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision B.
Okay, thank you. This meeting is adjourned.